in my back. So, in either case, and now I have told my wife that my next plan is I am going to be getting out of there. You won't have the glory of slandering me anymore. I'm going to be retiring on a good note.
All right.
At some point soon. I'm planning it now. We're trying to work it out. And 30 years is long enough to be there. You know what? Think about this. And I thought about this. And I was praying. And this hit my mind. And then we'll get to our stuff here we need to talk about. Jesus was on earth 30 years before he started his earthly ministry. And his ministry took 3.5 years. And we're here today because of a 3.5 year ministry with 12 who he called, of which one betrayed him. So I don't mind a little betrayal on my thing there.
Okay.
You can betray me. That's all right. Better people than me have been betrayed by others. You see what I'm saying?
And
we'll see how it works out, because God is going to do some miraculous things. I just believe it. And so I was thinking, I told my wife, we don't need them. We really don't. We can move right on. I can leave there today, and it won't be any problem. We'll move right along. We're going to lose no steam whatsoever. Because you don't dictate anything. And then you'll see what it's like when you got to deal with somebody else out there. Instead of somebody with 30 years of experience of dealing with your raggedy equipment that you won't buy new stuff. You see what I'm saying? So, in either case, let's move along. I just wanted to share that with you. I thought it was, I was looking for my glass. Okay, amen. So I just want y'all to know what's been going on that front.
Praise God.
So I'll be getting a 30-year pin presented to me by someone in HR on the 15th or somewhere around the 15th. So that's when I started there, October the 15th of 85. And God kept me there, and so I've been there long enough.
Praise the Lord.
Time for me to move on out.
Amen.
And then in answer to another thing Brother Douglas said, I'm thankful to God because when I came into church, the church was confusing to me. Have you felt that, any of you?
Yes.
Just like we had some things going on in Sunday school this morning where people were a little confused because there's so many stories out here about how these things fit together.
Yep.
How to interpret the word. And you know what I did when I was confused? I said, God, I read in your word. It says you are not the author of confusion.
That's right. Amen.
You know, and I said, I want to know what's true. I want to know what's in your word so I can understand it for me, first of all.
Yes.
And then also so I can share it with your people, because this is a madness.
Yes, it is.
Over here, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Over here, if you ain't baptized in Jesus' name, you're not saved. Over here, if you don't do good works, you're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
All these different things people are saying. Well, how do you know when you're saved?
All right.
That's important to me.
Yes, it is.
You took me out of a mess. Now I'm coming into another mess.
Yeah.
With all these folks with different stuff about what you said. And I said, that's not right. That's not right. I know it's not coming from you.
Yeah.
So I asked God. I earnestly prayed. In fact, I was right out in front of here because I was coming here to study with Dr. Hamilton. He told the story right. He was very clear. And my pastor over at Mount Herald told me, go over there and see Hamilton. He'll get you ready for ordination. When I announced to him, I felt called to preach. He said, I knew you were already. Now here goes me, Dr. Hamilton. He sent me right over here. He said, I knew that a long time ago. I was waiting for you to tell me.
Yeah.
I said, okay. And so anyway, I came here. And then while I was right out in front of here, I remember sitting out there in my car. I probably had some raggedy jalopy. And coming over here, I said, Lord, I was listening to folks on the radio because I listen in on a lot of people because I want to know what's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing these conflicting stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know. I said, God, I need to know. If you just let me know, help me understand your word, I'll serve you as long as I'm around. Mm-hmm. And that's what I promised, and God did that.
Yeah.
So if I can do this stuff you're saying, you know, because I asked God,
yes,
help me understand this and be able to break it down and make it plain, because you need somebody that's saying the exact truth.
Amen.
And backing it up with your word. That's the only thing that's important. So anyway, where we are now does tie in with our lesson and those things I said, and it looks like we're a little over time again, but I want you to understand that we've been talking about some things in the past few lessons about the character of the world and the church.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two places you can be. You can be in the world or in the church. But now, you know what? There's a portion of the church which is in the world.
In the world.
That might sound confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to understand, there's a whole part of the visible church which is not in the book,
right,
according to what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's what the word says, that the mystery of iniquity will be at work. And he also said that the man of lawlessness will be revealed.
Yep.
The Antichrist is a person who comes acting like he is the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Like, I'm the head of the church. I'm the head of the government. I got all your answers right here. And yet he is against Christ. He opposes Christ. He opposes the church. That's why the doctrines that you've been hearing, like we talked about, Brother Douglas mentioned this morning, a chaplain that prayed a sterile prayer with nothing about God in it.
Nothing.
And told people they couldn't pray because that'll stir up bad memories.
Yeah.
So prayer hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says pray without ceasing.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? So those two things don't go together. How can you be a chaplain and you're telling people don't pray? And God said always pray. Man, I'm always praying, not faint. See, so you got contrary things. People don't know the difference, and they kind of walk through. That's why admonish people, study the word.
Study.
Study to show thyself approved unto God as workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
That's right.
And God will equip you.
Yes, he will. Amen.
If you're saved, you're equipped. You just have to allot the time and don't let the confusion of the world lock you out of the truth.
Yes.
Make sure you understand it.
Right.
Make sure if somebody's teaching you, you can ask them a question.
Yes.
People ask Jesus questions all the time.
All the time.
Lord, the Pharisees said this. Now, what do you say?
Mm-hmm.
All the time. The Pharisees ask him, Moses said this. What do you say?
Right.
You see it all through the Bible.
Yes.
Dialogue, back and forth.
Yes.
You got to get this. You got to understand it so you know what's right.
Got you.
Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth.
Right.
And the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
That's for you.
Right.
Whoever you are. Continue in my word, and you are my true disciples, my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth.
Yes.
The truth shall make you free. So this false system is building up in the world. It's going to hit the people who don't have the right knowledge, the right information about God, about the word. All the information is here. How do we know? Well, some churches tell us, oh, you can't trust the Bible. Just listen to the head of the church. He speaks ex cathedra, the Pope. He's infallible, no, but the Bible says the only time the word infallible is used in the book is the proof of the resurrection.
That's right.
Right.
Nothing else is infallible. It's infallible proofs of the resurrection, and that's in the book of Acts chapter 1. So you need to have a solid mindset about what's true. Now, God doesn't save you by knowledge.
That's right.
He saves you strictly by grace.
Yes.
Through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. So don't think, oh, if I'm not a rocket scientist, I'm not going to be saved. That's not the issue.
Yes.
What happens is when you don't know stuff, sometimes it disturbs your peace.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You can know you're saved, but you might hear somebody say something and go, boy, I don't know if I did that or not. Or, I haven't been through that before. Or I didn't speak in no tongues. Or I don't remember when I got saved. A lot of times you don't. Sometimes if you were raised in a godly home, God was working on you and he filled you with the Holy Spirit and you are saved, but you don't have confidence because somebody over here said, oh, if I don't get baptized in the name of Jesus,
right.
And I got baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit,
yes,
maybe I'm not saved. And the devil wants you to doubt what God says.
Yes, he does.
So the way you get rid of doubt is know the truth.
Know the truth.
Wash it out with the water of the word.
Amen.
And then you can be certain. That will make you tenacious, and you will be able to stand, and you'll be able to witness, and you'll be able to do everything you need to do, and you'll be able to have peace.
My Lord.
These things I've spoken to you, Jesus said, that in me you might have peace.
Yes.
In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, now he told his disciples that. John 16:33.
Yes.
These things I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. He told you. You're going to have tribulation. So when you have tribulation, you go, oh God, is not with me. Yes, he is. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation.
That's right.
But be of good cheer. See that?
Yes.
Why? Because in my mind, I know God got my back.
That's
he got my back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going through trouble. He said I would. I already know that.
Amen.
It's going to be trouble. It's going to be confusing. It's going to be all kinds of things. People falsely accusing me, like the stuff I told you about earlier. There's going to be people against you.
Yes.
Stuff's not going to go your way all the time.
Yeah.
But he said, be of good cheer. Why? Because on the inside, I know God got my back.
Yes, yes he does.
How do you know? Because he sent his son to be crucified on the cross.
Milo.
Who died for me and got up out of the grave.
Yes.
To proclaim all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then he said, he sent us out. Go ye therefore in all the world and teach all the nations. You are my teachers. Not just the pastor, all of you. You're teaching someone.
Mm-hmm.
no matter what you're doing. So Mystery Babylon, we started talking about last week, is an evil system that's always been in the world. It always has been there, and just has had ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's very powerful. Sometimes it's not as powerful. But usually, a whole lot of the world is underneath bad teaching and bad doctrine. Or either they don't believe there's a God at all. All of that falls into the realm of Mystery Babylon when you get to Revelation, as we looked at last week. Now, the Old Testament prophets, we'll kind of go through this quickly. I'm always having to leave stuff out and connect it back the following week, because our time gets burned in here somehow. But we ain't going to worry about it. As long as you get fed, it's a good thing. And you can always study this, and we make the lessons available so those of you who are electronically connected can continue to study even after you leave here. But what I want you to see here is Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. This is the Lord speaking about the covenant people and concerning his son Jesus. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. This is a prophecy of when God says he's calling on the whole world, not just Israel. He's speaking this before Israel's captivity through the prophet Isaiah. He said, there's coming a day when the Gentiles everywhere are going to come to my son when he rises out of the grave. The prophecy was given to them. They didn't even get it. It went right over their head. They didn't understand it. They thought, oh, this is all about national Israel. And you know what? National Israel went into captivity, and they have really, they were in Rome at the time Jesus was born. They were in, let's say Rome was in power. Israel was in Israel, but the Romans were in power over them. They didn't have the dominion and the authority they had before, back when they were the covenant people, and they hadn't been scattered like they were. And so even before they went into captivity, God was warning them, there's going to be a great influx of Gentiles coming into me. You know what? That's what he started with the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. He told Abraham, a Chaldean Gentile, to get thee out of that country in Genesis 12, and away from that kindred, and out of thy father's house, come into a land that I will show you. Mm-hmm. I will bless you and make your name great. I will bless him that blesseth you. I will curse him who curseth you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Yeah. He promised he was going to bless everybody anyway.
Amen.
But he didn't explain all the details, how that would happen. Abraham didn't even have a seed at the time that was profitable, that had produced a child.
Yes.
You see? And so God was promising that from the beginning, but the Jews started to take it just for them, because God spent 42 generations from the time of Abraham to develop the Jews, who are the covenant people. And not everybody born of Abraham was a believer. There were people like the Ishmaelites and people, the sons of Esau, and all these other groups of people, the sons of Keturah, Midian, Ishbak, Shua, all of them you read about in Genesis 25, who came out of Abraham's loins, but they weren't believers.
Right. Right.
So there's always been dual system in the world. All the Gentiles outside of them, while God was doing all that, were basically doing their own thing, creating false religion and practicing it every day. And so Mystery Babylon, the mystery is, you can see by the Holy Spirit, that there's always been a group of people against God and against his word that did not grow up in his word. Yet at the same time, God has always had a remnant of believers in the midst of all the people that were there all the time, and always will. There'll always be someone who believes
always.
God.
Always. Amen.
And when it gets down to where God is doing battle directly with the world, the fallen world, which the writer of Revelation, who is John, calls Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. We looked at that last week. Notice in Revelation 18, it says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
Wow.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. And her, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double. In other words, the cup she hath filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself. See that?
Yes.
How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. In other words, to the proportion that she has glorified herself, give her that much torment, double. And he goes on to say, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her.
Wow.
Then he goes on to say, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see that her, the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment has come. Those are critical words. Now, I believe that at this particular time, the only nation on earth that could meet this description is the United States. Don't let that scare you.
Amen.
You see, because we're the only one that are sitting in this mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth, is a political, socioeconomic system that sits on many waters.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Try to control the world with your navy and with your power, the power that you have with your aircraft and all these kind of things. And so we better watch out for what's going on. When we see things like that photo there, that's people who went up to basically to sit at the Pope's feet to listen to his message, which was not the gospel of Christ.
That's right.
It was actually slanderous against Christ.
Yes, it was.
And so we need to be very careful, because since the fall of Adam, mankind has always attempted to cover their own sin and shamefulness before a holy God in a way with the works of their own hands. A self-made system of righteousness established in accordance with their own standards. Yet even today, the world is filled with false religious systems who are all teaching and practicing the same systems of works, or either serious doubt or even total unbelief. That's what you get. You get a spattering of that. Everybody in the world is teaching salvation by works, not by grace, not by faith in Jesus Christ alone. So that's what all systems do. They tell you if you do good, God will save you. If you don't do good, he's going to weigh you good and you bad, but it doesn't work that way. Because God would have to be unholy for it to work that way. If he can accept one sin, then he is an unholy God. So the way he fixed it is that all the sin was put on his son, who is God. And he forsook him and allowed him to take all the sin of everyone that believes in him.
Amen.
That way he can still maintain his holiness. He provided the substitute for those who believe in him.
Yes.
So that we don't have to worry about it at all. He heaped it on Christ. Christ died. The wages for sin is death. And then he took away our sin. All who believe in him, their sins are taken away.
Yes.
The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgression from you.
It
says in Micah 7:19, he cast our sins into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. God is the only one that can deal with the sin problem.
Amen.
And he did it. He did it on a hill called Golgotha.
Golgotha, yeah.
Hill called Calvary in the Latin, they say. Calvary, see? He allowed his son there to be crucified,
yes,
so that whoever trusts in him will not perish. Not only that, but even after he has taken my sin, I'm still not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I need a foreign righteousness. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the righteousness that is acceptable to God, his righteousness. He gives it freely to whoever believes in Christ. Right. Takes away your sin, right. Takes away the penalty, allows Christ to pay the penalty,
yes.
And he gives you his righteousness in exchange.
Amen.
Covers you with his righteousness.
Amen.
See, and that's the only acceptable thing. Your good works versus your bad works, that still leaves God being unholy and an accomplice with you in your sin.
Yes.
So only the gospel of Jesus Christ is based totally on the work of God.
Yes.
Gives all the glory to the Lord alone, no one else.
That's right.
So
amen.
That we have nothing for which to boast, but only to give God all praise alone, because the triune manifestation wherewith he has chosen to bless all who believe in Christ Jesus, and that God has defeated death by Christ's resurrection from the dead. Death was even swallowed up in victory. So the problem of death was dealt with also, in addition to the forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
So it is the mission and the joy of the true church to boldly proclaim this gospel of the kingdom as a totally free gift given by God as a gift to all men who choose to entrust the keeping of their souls to Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what it said. He designed it. He worked it out on the cross, satisfied God, completed it so he could give it to you for free. That's the gospel, and it keeps God holy the whole time.
Yes.
God does not have to share or be an accomplice with me in my sin.
Amen.
Why? Because his son paid the bill.
Yeah.
The wages for sin is death. He didn't give it to Adam, but he gave it to Jesus.
Yes.
He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all.
Thank
Paul
God.
Says, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
He didn't spare his son. He spared Abraham's son.
Yes, he did.
Told him there's a ram called over there. Abraham sacrificed that ram.
Yeah.
There were substitutes all along through the history of Judaism until God himself took on flesh in order to die for your sin and mine.
Jesus.
That's
thank
the good news. That's the gospel. If you have the gospel, you have everything you need.
Yeah.
You should have peace.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Who that wrote that song? Yeah. I've got everlasting peace. Through the blood of the Lamb, I'll praise his name.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Got everlasting joy.
Amen.
Through the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Yes.
If there be any here today
yes.
who are not saved, we invite you to come at this time. Amen.
Lord,
I believe I see a bunch of old faces that I know who are saved.
Amen.
Amen. So probably there won't be any, but I want to make the invitation possible for you today. If you're not saved and you want to make sure you are, do it today.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
While the blood is running warm in your veins.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for the gospel. It's the best thing in the universe. Nothing better than the gospel. You know what? I have never heard it too much.